Good morning, everyone.
Good
to see you this morning. I know I'm not what you expected, all right? And this isn't really what I expected either, all right? But Pastor Scott has come down with some throat issues and some throat problems, and he asked if I might be able to fill in. And I will do the best I can this morning to be an adequate substitute, all right? Filling in for someone else with the privilege of sharing the Word of God. So we're glad you're here this morning. Trust that the Holy Spirit of God will use His precious Word in our lives today and challenge us in our relationship and in our responsibilities to the God who loved us, sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, who saved us, has given us new life in Christ, and has given us a life worth the living and one worth rejoicing in and just praising Him and thanking Him. So we appreciate your presence with us this morning. Maybe you should open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 this morning. As I just mentioned to you, I wonder how many times people have said to you in just the last few days, Happy New Year. Would you like to count how many times or think how many times? But, you know, it's so interesting because That phrase, Happy New Year, has not just come from family and friends, but in all reality, it's come from complete strangers. People we had maybe never met before, people we didn't know, but for this time of the year, between Christmas and New Year's, they have felt compelled to wish us a Happy New Year. Well, I'd like to have us think this morning a little bit about maybe changing the greeting from Happy New Year to Different New Year. How does that sound? That sound all right to you? That maybe even just this morning that we could change it to Different New Year. What would a Different New Year look like? Well, I could suggest it might look something like this. We learn from our past mistakes. Or we become strong in areas of past weaknesses. Could be we get victory in areas we have failed in the past. Or we become faithful in areas of past unfaithfulness. It could possibly mean that we improve our relationships which have suffered in the past. I suggested this morning, in order to have what I would refer to as a different new year, there will have to be, now listen to this word, change. We like that, don't we? Hey, we like that word, change. If it's going to be a different new year in 2017, it just might involve change. Now, often when we think of the word change in relationship to a new year, the beginning of a new year, the first day of a new year, we often think of the term New Year's resolutions. And we're really talking about making changes for the new year. I'd like to have us think this morning as we begin out of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, as we simply think about the word this morning, resolutions. Would you be kind enough? It's going to be on the screen for us. I think it is. All right, there it is. Would you be kind enough just to read it together with me? Out of Philippians 3, 13 and 14, let's read together, shall we? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think that's a good starting place for us today. As we would think in January 1st, 2017, about this long word that we often refer to as resolutions. Let's look at it this way, please. And if you have notes, I think the ushers were kind enough to get an outline out to you. And I don't know if men are available. Anybody need an outline or need something to fill in, need something to do during the service? All right. There are a couple. There are a couple up here. We have any men that have these outlines and could get them to the right people? I don't see anybody. I see Corey getting up. He's going to see if he can find some or whatever. All right. We're getting them? Okay. So, Gary, you're giving yours away. Yeah. Have you got another one? You don't? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Resolutions. Let's start this morning, shall we? I would suggest to you that the R in the word resolutions could stand for re-examine or re-evaluate. Here's what Paul says. Paul, speaking to the believers in the church of Philippi, he says, "Brethren, as I re-examine my life, as I re-evaluate where I am in my relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as I take an honest look at myself, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul says, as I look at my life, I haven't arrived. I've got a ways to go. There's things for me to learn. There's probably some things in my life I need to add to my life. Maybe some things that I need to have out of my life. But I know this, as I re-examine, as I re-evaluate, I come to the conclusion that I have not yet arrived. I have not yet apprehended. I could suggest to you this morning that that means that we need to re-examine where we've been. We need to re-examine where we are and to re-examine where we are headed. You know, in the Great Communion text, even the Apostle Paul said this, before we ever receive the cracker as a symbol of the body of the Lord Jesus or the juice as a symbol of his body, he said, "But let a man examine himself." So it only does us well to regularly examine where we are, where we've been, and where we're headed in our life. And there's no better time for us to do that than January 1st of 2017. Here's what I'd like to suggest to you this morning. Stop living in the past. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Stop living in the past. Could I suggest to you this morning that past sins will debilitate you? Past sins will defeat you. Past sins will destroy you in your life. Thinking and dwelling and not being able to let go of the past. The words of the Apostle John in 1 John 1:9, and you know them well. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to, next word, forgive. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has forgiven us of all of our sins. We often hear it this way, past, present, and future, our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And to us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we say, thank you, God. Praise God. Our sins are under the blood of Christ. Wow. Praise God. He has forgiven us. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 103, the first three verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who has forgiven us of our iniquities? He has forgiven us, the Bible tells us. Again, Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 32, where the apostle Paul said this. Okay. I'm having one of those senior moments, all right? I know they can't remember how the verse starts. I can't find my place in my notes, all right? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Listen, my dear friend, God has forgiven us of our sins if by faith we have believed on Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. Listen to me carefully. If God has forgiven us, let's forgive ourselves. Forgetting those things which are behind. Past sins will debilitate you. Past successes will deceive you. They will deceive you. They will keep you deluded in your life. You want to know what past successes do to us? It causes us to talk like this. I remember when I used to attend Sunday school. I remember when I used to share the Word of God with others. I used to tithe and give an offering to the Lord. I used to be faithful to the church services, all of the church services. I used to. You see, folks, when we live that way, past successes will deceive us. And we will be used to Christians instead of usable and useful believers. Being usable and useful for God. So forget those past successes. And let's determine in our mind by the help of God that we're going to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way in the last letter that he wrote in the book of 2 Timothy. In writing to Timothy, he said in verses 19 through 21 of the second chapter, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." Now get hold of this. The Lord knows those who are His. You're here this morning. Are you a believer? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I want to share with you. The Lord knows. The Lord knows whether you are His. There in 2 Timothy 2:19, in John chapter 10, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them," in verse 27. So as you sit in this auditorium this morning, claiming to be a Christian, claiming to be a believer, I just want to suggest to you that God knows whether or not you belong to Him, and He has given you His precious Word of God according to 1 John chapter 5 so that you can know that you belong to Him. 1 John 5:12, "He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you, that you may believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life." So for us to have the assurance of salvation, it's not because of anything that we've done. We don't have the assurance of salvation because we walked an aisle. We don't have the assurance of salvation because we've fallen down on our face and our knees before God. We have the assurance of eternal life, our sins forgiven, knowing Jesus as our Savior on the authority of the Word of God. Amen. And on the authority of God's Word only. God help us. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart in iniquity. Because in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and fit to be used of God. And I trust as you look forward to 2017 that it is your purpose and your plan in your life to be used of God this year. To just be a usable vessel in the hands of Almighty God. Quit living in the past, whether they're past sins or past successes and start living in the present. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Wow. By the grace and goodness of God, we've begun a new year. And I suggest to you that God will lay before us, present us opportunities that should motivate us and objectives that should sustain us in this new year as we seek to be usable and useful to the glory of God. What would be some of those opportunities? What would be some of those objectives? Could I suggest to you, let me just ask you the question. What are your goals this year for this book? What are your goals? You're going to read through the Bible this year? You're going to prepare? You're going to study? You're going to learn? You're going to memorize? You're going to share? You're going to carry it with you? Listen, what are your goals in relationship to the Word of God? I could do nothing more than encourage you, my dear friend, that God has given us the precious Word of God, and we ought to read it, and we ought to learn it, and we ought to study it, and we ought to memorize it, and we ought to share it, and we ought to carry it with us. And we ought to not only be a people of the Word of God, we must be a church of the Word of God. What's your plan? What's your goal? What are you reaching forth this year regarding the Word of God? Pastor's already mentioned this morning about memorizing Scripture. And we have our new verses out of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. What are your goals? Are your goals to learn, memorize? Psalm 119, verse 9, hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against Him. But you have a goal to memorize the Scripture? What's your goal about getting involved in the ministries of our church? What are you planning to do this year? Maybe you've never attended Sunday school. Maybe Sunday school has never been a regular part of your walking with the Lord. Could I encourage you? Could I challenge you? Could I exhort you today to become a part of Sunday school, the teaching arm of the local church? Get involved in Bible study. Could I encourage you about witnessing to the glory of God? You say, well, Bob, I've never really been a part of that. That's never been a reality in my life. Well, get signed up when Project 623 comes along. Go through the classes. Get on a team. Take the Word of God and be involved of telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us on the cross of Calvary. Get involved in some ministry of the church. I could literally take the rest of our time this morning and just talk to you about the blessings of the prison ministry and how God has used it so wonderfully in my own life. But maybe it's not the prison ministry for you. Maybe it's a children's ministry or ladies' ministry or men's ministry or seniors' ministry, whatever it might be. I'm going to reach forward. Reach to those things which are before, the opportunities and God gives to me. I'm going to reexamine and reevaluate where I've been, where I am, and where God wants me to go. Could I suggest to you that the E in resolutions would stand for empty? Out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we'd find this verse, and be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm often reminded also in the book of Romans, I believe it is, where it says we're to be empty of ourselves. So God help us to understand that this year we should be empty of self and to be filled with the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And sometimes you talk to Christians and they say, what does being filled with the Spirit of God look like? Start reading in Ephesians 5, 19 and read through Ephesians chapter 6 and verse, well, you could stop at 17 or go all the way through verse 20. If you want to know what being filled with the Spirit looks like, Paul exhorts us to be filled with the Spirit, and then he shows us. as we sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, as we submit ourselves one to another, as wives learn to be in submission to their husbands, and husbands learn to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church, as children learn to be obedient and honor their parents, as employers learn how to treat employees, and employees learn how to honor their employers, and how we're supposed to put on the armor of God and be the Christian soldier that God would have us to be, so that we can march forth to the glory of God in our life. Empty ourselves of me and be filled with the Spirit of God. Could I suggest that the S in resolutions would stand for strive, to strive. 2 Timothy 2:5, and if any man strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. There ought to be some striving in our life this next year to be constant, to be continual in God's word. I am going to seek to be what Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. I'm going to seek to be a Berean of Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Who were more noble than those in Thessalonica? Because they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Let's be people of the word of God. Let's have a hunger for the word of God that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere or pure milk of God's precious word. Let's be constant and continue in God's word. Let's be consecrated in our conduct with a consistency to God's word, that our lives would be consistent according to the teaching of the word of God. Wow. To strive to go forward with the Lord, beginning again with this precious word. Could I be so bold today as to simply say, folks, listen, what are your plans for what we often refer to as personal devotions? Personally, being in the word of God, what are your plans? How about it, mom and dad? What are the plans for what we refer to sometimes as family devotions? Or having a family altar in our life. You've heard this said many times, haven't you? If you go through your life aiming at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And if you've got no goals, no plans for you and for your family in this matter of striving after God through the ministry of His precious word, next year, if the Lord should tarry, and we're here at the end of 2017, the beginning of 2018, we'll look back with an emptiness in our life because we failed to strive to go forward for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Could I suggest as well that the O in resolution would stand for onward? Philippians 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've got to go on. I've got to go on. Peter said it this way in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. But grow. But grow. Think with me just for a moment. Last year, January 1st, 2016, where were you in your relationship with God? Some of you were not even a part of God's family, but praise God, by His grace, He reached down and revealed to you that you were lost on your way to hell, nothing you could do to save yourself. That's why he so loved you that he sent his only begotten son who went to the cross of Calvary and died in your place as your substitute, as your sin bearer, as your sacrifice, as your sufferer, so that he could be your savior. And praise God, by faith this year, you placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and you were gloriously born again. Praise God. Some of us who've been saved for years look back at our life. Where was I last year in my relationship with Christ? How have I grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior? Our growth is to be forward, folks. Our growth is not to be backward. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. It is a forward look. It's a forward growth, not one which is backward. And in the history of the Old Testament Israelites, you come to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verses 23 and 24, and you would read these verses. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. All right, be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. Now notice, and went backward and not forward. We need to be going onward in our walk. Onward in loving God, onward in living for God, but making progress, not regressing in our walk in relationship with our wonderful Lord. I suggest it not only involves our growth, but it ought to involve a goal in our life. This matter of going onward should involve a goal. To be like Christ, to become more like our wonderful Lord and Savior. There's an old hymn that was entitled, I Want to Be Like Jesus. The words are going to be on the screen for us, all right? Could I ask you again to read with me? Could you do that? But I don't want you just to read with me. I want you to think about the words that we're reading. Let's read together, shall we? I have one deep, supreme desire that I may be like Jesus. To this I fervently aspire that I may be like Jesus. I want my heart his throne to be so that a watching world may see his likeness shining forth in me. I want to be like Jesus. O perfect life of Christ my Lord, I want to be like Jesus. My recompense and my reward, that I may be like Jesus. His spirit, my hungering soul, his power all, my life control, my deepest prayer, my highest goal, that I may be like Jesus. Wouldn't that be a worthy goal for us this year? Lord, that I might be like Jesus. The L this morning could stand for the word love. Love. This year, our love for Christ. Our love for Christ. Could I suggest to you again that it begins with his word? My love for Christ, being in his word. That means just realizing that what God has given us is 1 John 5, chapter 3 talks about the word of God not being burdensome to us. The commandments of God, they're not burdensome or they're not bothersome. And we ought to be people, God's people of the Word of God. It says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Wow. Again, in the Word of God. Again, in the will of God. I'm going to love Him, and I'm going to be in His will, or I'm going to be in His walk. I'm going to be in the company of God. I'm going to be in the presence of God. You do understand that as the Lord was leaving this earth, He says what? Almost the last words He said to His disciples, what? Lo, I am with you always. So it's not the fact that we drive to Lantana Road Baptist Church, get out of our cars and walk into the church building and say, I'm in the presence of God. We are in the presence of God every day. Lo, He is with us always, and it ought to be our goal in our walk according to God's will to follow Him and to walk with Him. He says in Ephesians 2:10, or Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So let's walk with the Lord in the presence of God in 2017, not only in His word and in His walk or His will, but also in His work, in His church. Let's love the Lord. And let's love the church, God's church. Let's love this church. Listen to me carefully, folks. God did not begin the church because He needed the church. God didn't need the church. God instituted and began the church because we need the church. We need one another. We need to worship and fellowship and work. And we need one another. So the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, the closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, listen carefully, the more we need the church. I don't need the church less this year than I did last year. I need it more this year than last year because I'm a year closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has raised up the church for us to love Him, to be in His word and His will, His walk, and in His work. How about loving other Christians? To love other believers. Remember that great commandment that He gave? The Lord said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. He said, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are My disciples, if you have love one for another. This place, Lantana Road Baptist Church, ought to be full of the love of God for Christians, for one another. Need to love one another. In Romans 5, Paul said, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And so when the Holy Spirit came into our life, He brought the love of God. And now we can love one another as God intends for us to love one another. Wow. And I want to tell you, my dear friend, we're not all easy to love. Look at Ray Brewer right there. Man. I don't know what you're laughing at, Mike. You're no prize. Yeah.
You're like Scott.
But by the grace of God, we can love one another. Wow. That's what it means to love God. It means to love Christ. It means to love other Christians. It means to love the unsaved. I put it down in the notes, to love the condemned. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And we need to have a love for the unsaved. We need to have a love for those who are condemned. to those who are destined to spend eternity separated from God in a place the Bible calls hell forever and ever and ever. And God says we need to have a love for them. And so our church is strong in evangelism and taking the Word of God and sharing the Word of God with the condemned, with the lost, to them who are perishing without the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's love as God intends for us to love. The U could stand for unity. For unity. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Wow. Being unified in our lives for the Lord. Now there's a number of things written down in your notes. Just look with them with me, please, would you? That means pulling together. Pulling together. We all get on the rope and we pull what? Together. We're not pulling opposite directions. We're pulling together. So we do it together. How about praying together? Studying together, serving together, standing together, seeking the Lord together, singing together, suffering together, as pastors already mentioned today, staying together, meeting together, magnifying the Lord together, ministering together, mourning together, fellowshipping together. Look at this one, fighting together. That means fighting the devil together. Doesn't mean us fighting with each other. Following the Lord together, forgiving one another, helping one another, honoring one another, but unity, being unified to the glory of God. T would be trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. What does it mean to trust? Here's just four very quickly. That means to rest on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It means to rely on the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding. It means to respond to the Lord. In all your ways acknowledge him, and it means to rejoice in the Lord, because he shall direct your paths. Wow. To simply trust in the Lord. The I could stand for immerse. To immerse ourselves in the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:15 says this, meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. So what about 2017? I wrote it down in my notes this way. I'm not going to cut back on my commitment to Christ, but I'm going to consecrate. That means dedicate. I'm going to consecrate myself completely to Christ. I'm not going to cut back. I'm going to try to press onward and forward. I'm going to seek to strive, to go after. I want to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ this year than last year. I'm not going to cut back. In fact, I'm not going to let go of responsibilities or service. I'm not going to let go of those things, but I'm going to latch on to and lay hold of greater opportunities. It wasn't too many years ago that we used to sing a little chorus in some of our churches, not going to quit, not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. But you know, folks, we have a lot of people in churches today who have done just that, haven't they? They've quit. They've quit. No, I'm not going to quit. Or I'm what? I'm never going to give up. Never give up. Never give up for the Master. But I'm going to go on for my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to stop serving the Lord, but rather stay serving the Lord or start serving the Lord. Hey. Boy, what a great 2017 that would be. Yeah. I am going to stay serving or start serving the Lord. The O could stand for overcome. Romans 12:21 says this, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm sure you've heard this before. This isn't new. Too many are being overcome rather than being overcomers. And a lot of times that happens. You want to know why? Because we won't let go of the past. So God help us to let go. And God help us to overcome and be overcomers to the glory of God. Too many are underachievers rather than being an overachiever. Wow. I know that this really dates me. But back in the days when I was in elementary school, the teachers would write notes on your report card. And I know you'll find this hard to believe. But every once in a while, I got written on my report card, he's an underachiever. You know what the teacher was saying? I wasn't trying very hard. I wasn't working at it. I was an underachiever. And in my walk with the Lord, God helped me to be an overachiever and not to be satisfied with being an underachiever for Christ. Too many are disappearing Christians rather than devoted Christians, right? Disappearing. Oh, they're good at it. You see them Sunday morning and they disappear for the whole week. Till the next Sunday morning, right? They disappear for weeks on end. They disappear for months on end. And becoming a disappearing Christian instead of a devoted Christian. Too many are straying away from the Lord rather than staying close to the Lord. Just want to walk with you, Lord. Just want to stay close to you, Lord. I just want to learn of you, Lord. I want to lean on you, Lord. I want to look to you, Lord. That I'm going to stay close to the Lord by the glory of God. And not stray away. The N stands for nothing between. Nothing between. You certainly understand that I have a real appreciation for some of the old hymn writers and what they said and what they put down in pen and in words. Listen to these words or look at these words. They'll be on the screen for you. Notice, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from Him ever sever. He is my all. There's nothing between. Nothing between like pride or station, self or friend shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved. I am determined. I have made the decision that there's going to be nothing between. The chorus says, nothing between, even many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, I'll triumph at last with nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen, nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. And that'd be a glorious 2017. Nothing between. And the S on resolutions could stand for saved, sanctified, serving. Because God has saved us to serve Him. We're saved to serve, folks. Every one of us. Saved to serve Jesus Christ. Saved sanctified, set apart to serve Him. That's His will for our life. So the question would be this morning, are you saved? Have you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you saved the Bible way? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you been the recipient of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ and radically allowed God to change you and to make you a new person in Jesus Christ? I ask you this morning, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? I want to ask you, Christian friend, as you examine and reevaluate last year to this year, are you growing? Are you going on for God? Is your life a testimony to the grace and goodness of God in your life? Are you loving Him, living for Him? Are you loyal to Him? He's given you His Word. He's given you His Holy Spirit. He's given us the church. He's given us every resource for us to faithfully follow, walk, and love Him and serve Him. How about it, Christian friend? Resolutions, goals in my life for Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we?